October 7th. We begin our Bible reading today in the Old Testament, and we'll be looking into Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 8. We'll go through chapter 9, verse 26. Four times in this chapter, Jeremiah asks and answers the question, why? Why are they backsliding, was one question. Well, the answer is plain. They believe lies and will not heed the truth of God's word. They will not admit their sins or repent of their sins. They're happy with the superficial ministry of the false prophets and the right it gives them to be religious and still live in sin. Why are they sitting still was another question. Well, because they do not really believe the enemy is coming. They have false confidence based on lying words, so they are at peace. And then why did they provoke God? Because they believed they could serve both the Lord and their idols. They did not abandon the Lord. They just made him one of their many gods. But the Lord will not accept equality with any other god, for he is God alone. Just as an unfaithful husband or wife provokes a spouse, so the unfaithful child of God grieves the heart of the Lord. And then the final question, why is there no recovery? And that's because the people did not heed God's warning, and his long-suffering reached its limit. Had they plowed their hearts, there could have been a harvest of repentance, but it was too late. The sickness was too far gone, and no medicine was available. When God calls you to return, do not wait too long. Seek the Lord while he may be found. And with that, let's begin our reading today in the Old Testament. October 7th, Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 8, through chapter 9, verse 26. How can you Israelites say, we are wise, because we have the law of the Lord, when your teachers have twisted it so badly? These wise teachers will be shamed by exile for their sin, for they have rejected the word of the Lord. And are they so wise after all? I will give their wives and their farms to others, from the least to the greatest. They trick others to get what does not belong to them. Yes, even my prophets and priests are like that. They offer superficial treatments for my people's mortal wound. They give assurances of peace when all is war. Are they ashamed when they do these disgusting things? No, not at all. They don't even blush. Therefore, they will lie among the slaughtered. They will be humbled when they are punished, says the Lord. I will take away their rich harvests of figs and grapes. Their fruit trees will all die. All the good things I prepared for them will soon be gone. I, the Lord, have spoken. Then the people will say, why should we wait here to die? Come, let's go to the fortified cities to die there. For the Lord our God has decreed our destruction, and has given us a cup of poison to drink, because we sinned against the Lord. We hoped for peace, but no peace came. We hoped for a time of healing, but found only terror. The snorting of the enemy's war horses can be heard all the way from the land of Dan in the north. The whole land trembles at the approach of the terrible army, for it is coming to devour the land and everything in it, cities and people alike. I will send these enemy troops among you like poisonous snakes you cannot charm, says the Lord. No matter what you do, they will bite you and you will die. My grief is beyond healing. My heart is broken. Listen to the weeping of my people. It can be heard all across the land. Has the Lord abandoned Jerusalem? The people ask. Is her king no longer there? Oh, why have they angered me with their carved idols and worthless gods, asks the Lord. The harvest is finished, and the summer is gone, the people cry, yet we are not saved. I weep for the hurt of my people. I am stunned and silent, mute with grief. Is there no medicine in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why is there no healing for the wounds of my people? Oh, that my eyes were a fountain of tears, I would weep forever. I would sob day and night for all my people who have been slaughtered. Oh, that I could go away and forget them and live in a shack in the desert, for they are all adulterous and treacherous. My people bend their tongues like bows to shoot lies. They refuse to stand up for the truth, and they only go from bad to worse. They care nothing for me, says the Lord. Beware of your neighbor. Beware of your brother. They all take advantage of one another and spread their slanderous lies. They all fool and defraud each other. No one tells the truth. With practiced tongues, they tell lies. They wear themselves out with all their sinning. They pile lie upon lie and utterly refuse to come to me, says the Lord. Therefore, the Lord Almighty says, see, I will melt them in a crucible and test them like metal. What else can I do with them? For their tongues aim lies like poisoned arrows. They promise peace to their neighbors while planning to kill them. Should I not punish them for this? Asks the Lord. Should I not avenge myself against a nation such as this? I will weep for the mountains and wail for the desert pastures, for they are desolate and empty of life. The lowing of cattle is heard no more. The birds and wild animals all have fled. I will make Jerusalem into a heap of ruins, says the Lord. It will be a place haunted by jackals. The towns of Judah will be ghost towns, with no one living in them. Who is wise enough to understand all this? Who has been instructed by the Lord and can explain it to others? Why has the land been ruined so completely that no one even dares to travel through it? The Lord replies, this happened because my people have abandoned the instructions I gave them. They have refused to obey my law. Instead, they have stubbornly followed their own desires and worshipped the images of Baal, as their ancestors taught them. So now listen to what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Look, I will feed them with bitterness and give them poison to drink. I will scatter them around the world, and they will be strangers in distant lands. Their enemies will chase them with the sword until I have destroyed them completely. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Think about what is going on. Call for the mourners to come. Quick, begin your weeping. Let the tears flow from your eyes. Hear the people of Jerusalem crying in despair. We are ruined. Disaster has come upon us. We must leave our land because our homes have been torn down. Listen, you women, to the words of the Lord. Open your ears to what he has to say. Teach your daughters to wail. Teach one another how to lament. For death has crept in through our windows and has entered our mansions. It has killed off the flower of our youth. Children no longer play in the streets, and young men no longer gather in the squares. And the Lord says, bodies will be scattered across the fields like dung or like bundles of grain after the harvest. No one will be left to bury them. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man gloat in his wisdom, or the mighty man in his might, or the rich man in his riches. Let them boast in this alone, that they truly know me and understand that I am the Lord, who is just and righteous, whose love is unfailing, and that I delight in these things. I, the Lord, have spoken. A time is coming, says the Lord, when I will punish all those who are circumcised in body, but not in spirit. The Egyptians, Edomites, Ammonites, Moabites, the people who live in distant places, and yes, even the people of Judah. Like all these pagan nations, the people of Israel also have uncircumcised hearts. October 7th. Our reading today in the New Testament will be from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Well, having laid the doctrinal foundation, Paul now makes the personal application, for truth is something to live as well as to learn. Put to death, he says, In Christ, you've died to the old life and been raised to a new life. So make the new life the focus of your attention. Set your mind on it. Seek to experience all that you can have in Christ. And then we are to put off. Like Lazarus, you must get rid of the grave clothes that belong to the old life. By faith, put off the old sins that bound you. Christ has set you free. And finally, put on. God wants you to wear the grace clothes, not the grave clothes. If your focus is on things heavenly, you will obey God in things on earth, especially in your relationships with others. And with that, let's begin our reading today in the New Testament. October 7th, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Since you Colossians have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits at God's right hand in the place of honor and power. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Do not think only about things down here on earth, for you died when Christ died, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your real life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual sin, impurity, lust, and shameful desires. Don't be greedy for the good things of this life, for that is idolatry. God's terrible anger will come upon those who do such things. You used to do them when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old evil nature and all its wicked deeds. In its place, you have clothed yourselves with a brand new nature that is continually being renewed as you learn more and more about Christ, who created this new nature within you. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free, Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people whom he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You must make allowance for each other's faults and forgive the person who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And the most important piece of clothing you must wear is love. Love is what binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are all called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the words of Christ, in all their richness, live in your hearts and make you wise. Use his words to teach and counsel each other. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus, all the while giving thanks through him to God the Father. This long psalm, Psalm 78, reviews the history of Israel, the Exodus, their wilderness journey, the conquest of Canaan, and the disciplines God sent them there. A nation's true history is a record not only of how the people treated one another, but of how they treated God. But why the long history lesson? For the sake of the generations to follow. You see, the Jews were commanded to teach their children the works and the ways of the Lord, so that each generation would know the Lord and trust him. Well, you and I have the same obligation today. When Israel stopped doing this, the nation forsook the Lord, and God had to chasten them. Now, people have not changed. They still rebel against God. There is still a need for faithful instructors in the home and leaders in the nation. So do all you can to help the next generation serve the Lord acceptably. Psalm 78, verses 32 through 55. But in spite of this, the people kept on sinning. They refused to believe in his, God's miracles. So he ended their lives in failure and gave them years of terror. When God killed some of them, the rest finally sought him. They repented and turned to God. Then they remembered that God was their rock, that their Redeemer was the Most High. But they followed him only with their words. They lied to him with their tongues. Their hearts were not loyal to him. They did not keep his covenant. Yet he was merciful and forgave their sins, and didn't destroy them all. Many a time he held back his anger and did not unleash his fury. For he remembered that they were merely mortal, gone in a moment like a breath of wind, never to return. Oh, how often they rebelled against him in the desert, and grieved his heart in the wilderness. Again and again they tested God's patience, and frustrated the Holy One of Israel. They forgot about his power, and how he rescued them from their enemies. They forgot his miraculous signs in Egypt, his wonders on the plain of Zoan. For he turned their rivers into blood, so no one could drink from the streams. He sent vast swarms of flies to consume them, and hordes of frogs to ruin them. He gave their crops to caterpillars. Their harvest was consumed by locusts. He destroyed their grapevines with hail, and shattered their sycamores with sleet. He abandoned their cattle to the hail, their livestock to bolts of lightning. He loosed on them his fierce anger, all his fury, rage, and hostility. He dispatched against them a band of destroying angels. He turned his anger against them. He did not spare the Egyptians' lives, but handed them over to the plague. He killed the oldest son in each Egyptian family, the flower of youth throughout the land of Egypt. But he led his own people like a flock of sheep, guiding them safely through the wilderness. He kept them safe, so they were not afraid. But the sea closed in upon their enemies. He brought them to the border of his holy land, to this land of hills he had won for them. He drove out the nations before them. He gave them their inheritance by lot. He settled the tribes of Israel into their homes. Proverbs 24, verse 27. Develop your business first before building your house.